Take your Bibles this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture taken from the 119th Psalm, Psalms 119 and verse 80. 119th Psalm, verse 80. We have a difficult time in our lives, and most of the difficulties that we go through are the result of us just not simply doing what God has said for us to do. God has given us, the designer has given us blueprints for our lives. The problems we're having with our country, with our homes, with our lives, with our finances, with all these different aspects of our life, they're a direct result of us being disobedient to God. There's always consequences for being disobedient to God. The symmetry of this particular psalm is unique in that it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. For eight lines, eight verses, you'll have a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's a very unique constructed psalm. And, the general subject of the entire 176 verses, aren't you glad I'm not preaching through all of the psalm? I'm going to read just one verse, okay? I may read other verses in connection with it, but my main thought, main subject is going to be taken from the 80th verse. I hope you're already there. But the general subject of this psalm is the law of God. The law of God. The teachings of the commands of God. And what it reveals to us, that it reveals to us that we need God's law in our lives. We need the Word of God permeating our lives, sanctifying our souls, supporting us and helping us through the different trials and troubles and tribulations of life. In order for us to be happy, we need the Scriptures to help us, to impart into us happiness. This whole psalm just celebrates the excellency and the sufficiency of God's Word for every aspect of our lives. If we will obey it, we'll be happy. And I just a quick note, as we go through this, if you ever sit down and read the 176 verses of the 119th Psalm, one of the things that you'll come across is the personal pronouns. It needs to be a personal part of your life. This is a very personal, experimental thing. It needs to be personal. The Word of God needs to be part of your personal regiment. I want to encourage you. I think one of the aims or the purposes of this sermon this morning is to encourage you to read the Scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. I was thinking this morning, kind of in my meditation, there you go. In my meditation this morning, I was thinking of Miss Veda. And she would, on a regular basis, she would come up to me and she'd say, "I've done it again." And I always knew what she was talking about. She had a systematic regimen of reading the Word of God. And every time she would reach the end of a reading, she would start in Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation, she would always say something to me about it. Now, sometimes it would take her a couple of years, but she would always tell me that "I've done it again. I've read through the Word of God again." I miss Miss Veda, don't you? Amen. Now, there are many references to the Word of God, many words that are used in here, many synonyms. There are actually eight Hebrew words that are used over, each one of them used over 20 times. And all of these synonyms are really just a reference to Scripture, to the Bible, to the sacred writings, to the Word of God. And like the word Torah is used over 20 times. But that's not the only one that's used. In our English, we have the word law. That's probably the widest and most used sense of the Old Testament Scriptures. The law of God. It means the Word of God. What was given to us through Moses, the Torah. Another one of the synonyms, I'm going to go through eight of them. The word law, testimonies, judgments, statutes. Sometimes translated the ordinances of God. The Word of God is used as we go through the 176 verses of this psalm. His words or His precepts, His commandments, His promises. One that's not as used, as much, is not used 20 times, is the word way, the ways of the Lord. If you want to know the ways of the Lord, you need to read the Scriptures. If you want to know the ways of the Lord and the will of God for your life, you need to go to Scripture. Now, we hold as our articles of faith, the number one article of faith, number one, is, of course, the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is divinely inspired, that it's a treasure, it's full of treasured things. The divine wisdom of God is known by reading and studying the Scriptures. We believe all of it to be divinely inspired, and I may deal with that in just a few minutes. But so the way of the Lord. This whole psalm, all of it, is focused on the sufficiency of Scripture to help you in guiding your life. Scriptures are an infallible guide for your life. We need to be controlled and guided by Scripture. We need to let Scripture have authority. Everybody say authority. Authority over our lives. Now, if you read the 18 Articles of Faith, you read the first one about the Holy Scriptures, one thing is quite clear is that we believe in the sufficiency and the authority of Scripture over our life. We let the Scriptures tell us what we should believe and what we should practice. How we should live is instructed to us in Scripture. So, it's focusing on the sufficiency of Scripture as a true and infallible guide for our lives. A true and infallible guide for our lives. Now I want to read the 80th verse. Okay, I'm just reading one verse this morning to begin with. And our aim is that we might, in this little time together, that we might develop a greater appreciation for the Word of God. We need a greater appreciation for the Word of God. And we need to incorporate that into our lives. We need to incorporate the Word of God into our lives. I want to encourage you. I'm going to say this again. I want to encourage you to have a daily regimen of reading the Word of God. Okay? Incorporate into your life a daily regimen for reading the Word of God. We don't have any excuses. Most of us have the Bible on our cell phones. So if you're stopped at a stop, well, maybe you shouldn't do it at a stoplight, but I mean, if you have downtime or you're waiting, you can look over and read some verses of Scripture. There are a lot of different ways to do that, but we need to get back to the Scriptures. But I'm convinced that in the life of a believer, there is a persistent and constant hunger for the Word of God. Saved people have a desire to learn the Scriptures, to comprehend the Scriptures, and to apply the Scriptures to their lives. There are passages that distinguish, I'm having a hard time speaking this morning, to distinguish us from the lost world. And that distinguishing mark revealed in like Thessalonians is that believers love the Word of God, and unbelievers, those that are damned to a devil's hell, have no love for the truth. Saved people love the Word of God. They love the truth. Lost people do not love the truth. That's a distinguishing mark. And so as I read the 80th verse, and it begins with the word let, or to allow, this desire, this, it goes beyond just allowing it to happen. It's a conviction, because he's wanting this to be put into his very heart and to his very soul. It's kind of, the word let is used several times in here because, like I said, it's because of the alphabet, because of the acoustic, the acrostic aspect of it. He's saying, let this thing be a part of who I am. Let this be part of my heart and my soul, that I might be sound and established. Let's read it. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let my heart be established in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We're talking about acquiring and developing a sound soul. A sound soul. Now, some of us made New Year's resolutions, and Chuck's been trying to get me to go and work out with him at 6:30 of a morning. Most of us have made resolutions by observation that we need to lose weight. And this is the kind of let that it's talking about. You need to make this part of your regimen, part of your... We know that unless we change our diet and exercise, we're not going to lose weight, right? There are rules that govern those things. And so this is what it's talking about. It's talking about letting the Word of God alter you or change you or make you sound. You look at your life and you need a greater part of your life contributing to the following of God's will and incorporation with His Word. I'm convinced that we'll never have sound families. You will not have a sound marriage. You will not have a sound life. You will not have a sound church until your heart is sound in the Word of God. It starts with me. Let me. There needs to be a personal aspect of this. In order for us to have a sound church, the church is made up of people, right? And in order for the church to be sound, then individuals have to be sound in the Word of God. Everything in our life, every perception of our life, every attitude of our life, every action of our life should come under the light of the Word of God. We should let the Word of God govern us and control us. Now, the word statue is a word that is talking about appropriating God's Word. Appropriating His divine appointments. We need to appropriate His statues in our lives. I want to use a few cross references, and I hope that you'll bear with me just for a few moments. Look in Psalms 40:8. There it tells us that the psalmist delighted to do the will of God. Those that delight to do the will of God, they will have the law of God within their hearts. He says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Why? Why does he delight to do the will of God? Because he has the law of God. Everybody say the law of God. Because he has the law of God in his heart. There was a hunger. There was a cry. There was a desire. There's a great desire for appropriation and incorporation of the Word of God into his life that he might do God's will. I believe this is the cry of every child of God. Every child of God has an appreciation and a love for Scripture. I said, God, amen. Our forefathers believe this, that our spiritual height, our spirituality was always determined by our love and appreciation for the Word of God. And there's I noticed recently, and it's become somewhat apparent that there's this. We're trying to separate ourselves and we want to be spiritual people, which is actually mysticism instead of spirituality. Anytime that we depart from the Word of God, we are leaving the Holy Ghost. There's a cooperation between the spiritual things of God and the Word of God, because the Word of God was given to us of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost to write these things. They are divinely inspired of God. God breathed. So this is the cry. I can prove this just in this one psalm, in 119 psalm. Let's look at a few of the verses found in the 119 psalm. Let's start in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Blessed are those that are undefiled because they're in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep the testimony and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statute. There's a hunger. There's a desire that's obvious in the first five verses of the 119th Psalm. You go to verse 15 and it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Look also in the same psalm in verse 27. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Look in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Look in verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Look in verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Jump down to verse 72 as I continue to read. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I know some of you probably began this year by reevaluating your finances. But I'm telling you, there is nothing of any greater value in all of the world than the Word of God. It is of greater value to me than thousands of pieces of gold and thousands of pieces of silver. In verse 97, let's jump up to a few more verses hurriedly. In verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Look in 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look also a little further in like 161. Let's read a few more. I'm going to read a few of these on now. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe. My heart standeth in awe at thy word. I'm talking about a hunger and an appreciation for the word of God. A desire to have it incorporated into your life. Folks, listen to me. As we go through this 119th Psalm, it is crystal clear that that was the desire. That was the desire of the psalmist. That is the desire of a child of God. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word at once that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lies, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day. Everybody say seven times a day. Seven times a day. Do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments? Let me ask you this. Do you seven times a day thank God for having his word? So we have room for improvement, amen? I mean, to have an appreciation for the word of God. I'm going to read the last one, 176. Because obviously we're not perfect people. He says in 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In other words, he says, I remember the word of God. I love the word of God. I long for the word of God. I hunger for the word of God. But I do not always obey the word of God. We fail to do that, don't we? And so he admits that in the very last verse of this 119th Psalm. My point is this. It's very apparent. A true Christian loves the Word of God. Someone who's really saved loves the Word of God. Now, this is not just something in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Jesus taught us that in John chapter 8 and verse 31. He says, if you abide in... Everybody say abide. If you abide in my word, that means if you find your place, your resting place, if you have a living place in the word of God, if you have a dwelling place in the word of God, if this is a settled place, you abide in my word. If there's a settled place in my word, he says, then you are my true disciples. Then are you my disciples indeed. The Greek is Matheleos, Aletheos. You are a genuine disciple if you find a place in your life for my word. If you abide in my word, then you are a real disciple. That's what it says. Now, Jesus said that. John chapter 8, verse 31. It's not the only place he said it. He said it over and over again, didn't he? Right? John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, say if you love me. This is Jesus saying, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments if you love me. In 1 John chapter 5, it tells us, whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is, whosoever trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are born of God. And whosoever is born of God loves the Father. And somebody who's born again not only loves the Father, but also loves the Son. And he goes on and tells us, we don't not only love God and love the Son, but those that are born again, they do his commandments. I'm preaching here, okay? I may not feel good this morning, but I'm preaching. There in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, I talked about the distinction between those that love God's truth and those who do not. The damned do not love the truth. Folks, listen to me. This indifference to Scripture is not a mark of a regenerated person. It's not a, these are not marks or evidences or fruit of a saved person, somebody who has disdain and indifference toward the Word of God. That is a person described in Scripture as one who sits in darkness. This is a sign of spiritual death, to have an indifference toward the Word of God. Now, we have a modern day evangelism that the gospel is being preached without the law, without the elements of the commandments of God, and there's no teaching and preaching of faith. We have faith without repentance, and we have repentance without faith sometimes. And in modern day evangelism, there's all this stress on the gift of salvation without the commitment to discipleship. Jesus, on numerous occasions, walked by folks and said, come, follow me. And the difference between them going to heaven and going to hell was leaving their lives and surrendering their lives in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to footnote. The moment, I'll make this clear, the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your sins, you will be saved. Amen. You meet the conditions of the gospel and you will be saved. Amen. The reason you don't get saved is because you have not repented. Amen. Not met the conditions of the gospel. If you go away from praying and seeking the Lord, it wasn't God's fault, it was your fault. When you meet the conditions of the gospel, God will save you. That's what we believe. That's Baptist doctrine. Okay? And sometimes it's just like it was in Scripture. Jesus would say, leave everything, come follow me. The young rich ruler in the 19th chapter of Matthew went away very sorrowfully, right? He didn't get eternal life. He wanted eternal life. He was seeking eternal life, but did not, and was right there speaking to the one who had life but did not get life because he did not have surrendering faith. Amen. You have surrendering faith, you'll be saved. Amen. That's what I preach. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said also in John chapter 7 and verse 17, if any man will do my will, he will know my teachings, whether they're of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, if you have a genuine desire, if you have a true desire, if you have a personal desire, a desire to know truth, truth will be revealed to you. People, the reason they don't get saved, Jesus said, and don't find truth, is because they love their sins. The reason they don't come to life or light is because of their own sins. And anyway. All right, so in the 80th Psalm, we're gonna allow our hearts. Look, folks, if you let dieting into your heart, within a few months, you will lose weight. Right? If you let it control your life, if you let the diet control your life, then you will lose weight. We've got to let it into our heart. Let it take charge of our lives. Let it control our lives. It's time we get back to thus saith the Lord. Amen. When it comes to the decisions that we make in our lives. So we're going to allow. Everybody say my heart. I'm going to let my heart. Okay. Be sound in thy statutes. Now statutes, like I said earlier, the term signifies God's appointments. God has an appointment for your life. Now, I'm talking about the appreciation for the Word of God. There's an appointment for your life that can only be found in the Word of God. Okay, there are things that God wants you to do, and He has revealed those to you out of His Word. So God, amen. One of the problems we have, I'm talking about appreciation, but we have a problem with appropriation. And we have a problem doing what it says. Okay? And here's the kicker, okay? You won't understand what it says till you're willing to do what it says. I'm going to say that again. The reason you'll stay blind to Scripture, the reason you'll have a hard time understanding it, is because you approach it with a kind of like we do in conference. We're gonna vote on it whether we like it or not. We're gonna vote on whether we're gonna do it or not. I mean, if it's something we like in the Word of God, then we'll do it. If it's something we don't like, we won't do it. That kind of approach to Scripture will make you ignorant. It'll keep you blind. I learned this a long time ago, okay? If you want to understand what the Scriptures say, you've got to approach them wanting to do them. And then they come alive to you. And unless you approach them in that way, they'll remain dead to you. If you'll approach the Scriptures saying, I'm going to do all that it says and all that it teaches, all the commandments, all the statutes, all the appointments for my life, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it no matter what. Then the Scriptures will just come alive to you. Now, you can't go to the Scriptures and learn that you're supposed to tithe and decide not to. Or then you'll go dark. Everybody say go dark. You go dark. I mean, you're approaching them. I'm going to do all that they say. That kind of desire of the heart must be part of the implementation and the appropriation of God's Word, or it just simply does not work. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm talking about in every area of your life. Now, if you're a wife, if the Word of God says you need to submit to your husbands, you need to submit to your husbands. If you're a child and the Bible says, children, obey your parents, you need to obey your parents. That says all this, right? It says all this, right? If it tells you that you need to be a good steward of the things that God has given you, and it does, it tells you you need to be a good steward of what God has given you. If it tells you about your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost and you need to take care of your body, then you need to take care of your body. I'm talking about all these different things that are found in the Word of God. These statutes, these appointments that God has for us. Let me say this. If you will conduct your finances according to the teaching of God's Word, you'll be sound in your finances. If you will construct your marriage according to the Word of God, you'll have a sound marriage. If you'll raise your children the way the Bible says you should raise your children, like in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, teaching them the Word of God on a daily basis, your children will be sound citizens. If our churches would just simply get back to thus saith the Lord, we would once again have sound churches. See, I don't know for sure where we as a church or churches or as a denomination lost our appreciation and our incorporation of the Word of God. I'm not sure where God's people have drifted away from that, but I know this. I've seen the results of it, and they're tragic. Our homes are falling apart. Church people's lives are in turmoil and in trouble. And one of the reasons they've lost the happiness is because there's some happiness that you can only find from the Word of God. Obeying God, believing God, doing what God has said, that's the only way you can be happy as a Christian, amen? Now, I realize the world can do it and get away with it, but if you're saved, you can't. You get that? I mean, yeah, you see, hey, they don't have to do it. Well, they're not saved. Hello? They're not a child of God. They don't have any appreciation for God, His ways, nor His Word. But I'll tell you something. If you're saved, you can't function. Your life will be dysfunctional unless you obey and strive to do the will of God. You know, where the sufficiency and authority of Scripture is so under attack. The statutes of God, God's appointments. You know, there's many of them. There's moral duty. We have a duty to our neighbors. We have a duty to our employers. We have a duty to our families. We have moral responsibilities and moral obligations to God and to this world that are given to us in His statutes. You have a personal duty and personal responsibilities to the Lord, to His work, and to the world at large. I didn't mean to be talking about somebody here recently, but I was kind of concerned about somebody that was missing church and laying out. And I just, off the cuff, I said to my wife, I'm like, how do they do that? How do you just lay out a church? How do you do that? I mean, it's right there in the Word of God. Fail not to assemble yourselves together. Don't do that. Don't lay out a church. I mean, there's a specific command not to lay out a church. How do folks do that? It's a moral obligation to support the cause of Jesus Christ, to support His world, His Word, His work, and His church. You support those as we've described in our covenant. Anyway, I'm not mad at you. I'm just concerned about the cause. Aren't you? I know that the farther we drift from the Word of God ruling our lives, the farther in despair we'll fall. This is old-fashioned stuff. It's just old-fashioned preaching, okay? This is what our forefathers believed. I'm just preaching that. I still believe that this is a treasure filled with divine treasure to help us in life, to find the wisdom of God for our lives, and we've got to appropriate it. We've got to be able to comprehend it. We've got to properly interpret it, and we got to understand it. We have to be devoted to understanding and rightly dividing the Word of God, right? In order for us to do it, you've got to rightly divide it. I had a situation a couple of weeks ago. A young preacher over in Missouri called me, and he's like, I'm facing something I've never faced before. And I said, well, what is it? And he said,
we've got a sick woman in our church, and they want us to come over, the elders to come over, and do exactly what it says in James, to come over, lay hands, pray, and anoint with oil. What do I do? How do you believe about that? I said, I can explain it away. I can say, well, the oil was something for medical purposes, and this is teaching us to pray, lay hands, call the elders together, but take your medicine kind of thing. I said, you can always explain things away. You can always principalize things in the Word of God. And sometimes we principalize things away. He said, well, what do I do? I said, well, I've always been convinced it's good to do exactly what the Word of God says. It's always good to do exactly what the Word of God says. If all of our women wanted to come in with their heads covered like the Word of God says, I'd have no problem with that. And he said, are you saying, Otta? I said, I think I have no problem. I said, now, a lot of people probably won't understand that, and they may... if you have anybody opposing you at church, they'll jump on that and make a big deal of it. So I wouldn't tell a bunch of people, but Devin understood that. But at the same time, if it says to do it, then just do it. See, that's part of incorporation. It's the kind of the Nike thing. You just do it. If it says to do it, you just do it. Don't worry about it. And... I don't know what they actually did, but I said, I have never had a problem with doing exactly what the Word of God says to do. I'm talking about the supremacy, the sufficiency, the authority of Scriptures. Just doing it. If it says do... Folks, listen to me. I've been studying prophecy from Isaiah. I've been teaching on that on Wednesday night for quite some time. It's not... the stuff that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the stuff I do understand. Yeah. That's the stuff we need to be worried about. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that just specifically states it very clearly, very simply. I understand those things, and we need to do that. All right, I'm going to try to close. Paul said to the young minister, Timothy, continue in those things which thou hast learned and observe them, being assured and knowing of those you have learned them from. He said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. All scripture, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture, everybody say all scripture. All scripture, all 66 books of the Bible. All scripture is given of inspiration of God. All of it is God breathed. Every noun, every verb, every adjective, every participle, all of it is divinely inspired. All 66 books, the Old Testament and the New. And there's perfect symmetry and perfect unity. And you need perfect symmetry and perfect unity and perfect harmony of the Word of God before you go spouting off a doctrine. It needs to be consistent through and through, amen. And I believe ours is, our doctrines. He said it's profitable, it's good, it's good stuff. It's good, it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you want to please God in the way you live your life, you need the Bible. That's what he said. That's what he said. All of us need the Bible. All right. Time gets away up here. Talked a little bit about appropriation and comprehension and the application of it. The motivation. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I be not ashamed. That I be not ashamed. You need the Word of God. The church can't be sanctified without the Word of God. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy what? Through thy Word. The cleansing necessary for us to stay where we can
please God as a church requires a washing of the water by the word, a word, Ephesians chapter 5. Over and over again, we know that we need the Word of God. I mean, yeah, you're going to eat probably in your lifetime, living in Tennessee, about 150 cattle. You're going to eat about 3,000 chickens. Yeah, you're going to eat probably 310 pigs, bacon and sausage and ham. You're going to eat about 50 acres of vegetables and fruit. You're going to eat about 25 acres of grain. I'm telling you, you can't live without the Word of God. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Jesus quoted that when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. I'm telling you, you need the Word of God as much as you need your next meal.
Amen. Appreciation for the Word of God is lacking. The psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth in the way of sinners and sits in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Amen? That man will be planted beside the river of life, my friend. If you want to be fruitful in life, you need the Word of God. God told Joshua. Remember in Joshua chapter 1? I'm talking about motivation. I'm afraid we're going to be ashamed in the end. One of these days, the book is going to be opened. This book that you have right here is the same book that's going to be opened in the day of judgment. When you stand before God, this will be one of the things opened in the day of your judgment. Be judged out of this book. He told Joshua, I got to turn over there and read it. Don't want to miss anything. Be strong, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide the inheritance in the land. He said, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded. Go ahead and get a song, Devin. Do all that the law has commanded. And he said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Say prosper. You can't prosper as a Christian without doing the Word of God, that you might prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. Everybody say all. That you observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then, and then only shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Everybody say prosperous. Then your way will be prosperous. Your way will be prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Everybody say success. You want to have success? If you're saved, the only way you can be prosperous and successful is to do the Word of God. Obey it. Keep it. God bless you, is my prayer. That we be not ashamed. I'll be honest. There are situations, okay? I'm you know, in my 50s. But I'll be honest with you. I have seen situations. Go ahead and stand your feet. There are many situations where people, their lives have fallen apart. And it all began with a departure from the statutes of God. Departure from the appointments of God. Most homes that end in divorce, where did they go astray? I can always tell you where they went astray. If you're a Christian, I'll tell you where it all started. It started when you got out of the will of God. If you, listen to me, it all starts getting out of God's will, not doing His Word. That's where it all begins. Churches that go astray, their departure always begins when they do not keep His commandments. That's where it all begins.
You don't want to be ashamed as a parent. You don't want to be ashamed as a church member. I don't want to be ashamed as a pastor. I've got to take the Word of God and make those things that are written therein part of who I am. I've got to digest them, make them part of my life. I've got to eat them. Let them consume my life. There are appointments for your life, and you need to get in God's will. Do what His Word says. Amen. I know this is kind of a strong message, but I tell you folks, we need to get back to the basics. When God's Word teaches us something, let's just do it. Amen. Let's just do it. Most of us know when we don't do it, there's conviction associated with it. But there's a lot of folks, I'm afraid, that are ashamed. I mean, just ashamed. And the shame is directly linked and associated to their departure from Thus Saith the Lord. If this nation collapses with all the benefits and privileges that we've experienced, it'll be a shame. But it was because of our departure from the Word of God. Cause and effect. In the 46th chapter of Isaiah, Israel went into Babylonian captivity. And God came and He chastened them. And He redeemed them. Praise God. But He told them, if you would have... He said this to Israel. He said, if you would have kept My commandments, you had had mercy running like a river. You'd had blessings being bestowed upon you like waves of the sea. But you did not do My commandments. And they were in great misery. God bless you. I appreciate you listening.